studio, a perennial guest choosing my words for the occasion, Karen Bennett, president of the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Welcome back to the studio, Karen.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
Now, we do have a lot of folks who may be turning in for the first time. It's just amazing the population growth that we've had in our county and in our footprint here, our radio footprint. So give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself, your background, and what brought you to Bonner County and to the Gardeners Association.
Well, I've always been very interested in vegetable gardens because I grew up gardening with my grandparents. And so that was something that was important to me. And then when I had children, it was a great way to get them to eat vegetables is if you actually grow them, and then they're far more interested in them. And of course, they taste better, so they're going to like them. So we came here about 13 years ago. I recognized this was a very difficult place to garden. So after years of struggling, and I did put in a greenhouse, which helped, but I decided to take a class with the Bonner County Gardeners Association. And it helped me become, even though I've been gardening for many years, it helped me realize what I didn't know.
Sure.
And it really filled in a lot of the gaps. I have a Master Gardener program, which we call it a membership program with us. We work in conjunction with the University of Idaho. Our organization actually was born out of the University of Idaho's Master Gardener program. They broke away in 2011 and started the Bonner County Gardeners Association. And so we actually work with the University of Idaho in their program, and we share about half of our classes with them. We meet together. So it's a great opportunity for gardeners from both their program and our program to get together and for us to all meet together and work in the community.
So what originally brought you to the area? It sounds like gardening is something you discovered once here, but what was the impetus to move here?
Well, my husband and I started in the Midwest. We lived in San Diego. We moved up to Seattle. And this area just had four seasons. That was very nice, but we had these beautiful mountains, lakes. So it was a beautiful area, and we wanted to have a little farm and raise animals. And so it's just a perfect place for that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So the Master Gardeners Association splintered off to become the Gardeners Association. Is that common or frequent? Or
I'm not sure. This was well before my time. Yeah. This was quite a few years ago. I think it was just that they, like, our program is a little bit more focused on camaraderie as well.
Okay.
And so we're a pretty social group with each other, interfacing with the community. I think both organizations perform a really great service, but I do believe there's, you know, a little bit more of an educational bend to the University of Idaho's program.
Sure.
And ours is a little bit more along the potlucks. So
sure, that's a great way to describe it.
So here's the maybe dividing line for me. I remember after we first got here, I was trying to figure out what was growing in my, I'll say lawn, although it was really then and now more a collection of weeds and natives than grass. That's okay. But I remember taking a couple things and say, hey, help me identify this. And of course, both of them came back weeds. But
right.
Who do I go to find what weed I'm growing there?
So the University of Idaho has a great extension office. We also do, the Bonner County Gardener Association has a booth too at the farmer's market the first Saturday of every month. So if you have something, of course, preserve it as best as possible. Even photographs help too, because sometimes by the time you put it in a little bag and bring it in, it's almost unidentifiable, right? But we do that as well at the farmer's market. The extension office is really good about that too.
And then do you have a series of classes, how-tos?
We do. So we do the Master Gardener. We call it the membership class, but it's a Master Gardener course. And that begins every January. The end of every January runs to the beginning of April. And then we also have what's called Home Horticultural Series. And we offer those both in the spring and the fall. And those are just individual classes that you can take on something that interests you, like mushroom hunting, or how to set up a vermiposting, like a worm bin. So just individual, maybe how to plan a garden if you've never had one, how to plot it out, or just different topics that we have that interest the community.
Great. And you have different members of your club that teach those classes, I assume.
Absolutely.
Whatever they're interested in and whatever they're pursuing.
Right. And we reach out into the community and find experts, too.
Sure.
So we've had, you know, Kyle Nagy at U of I, amazing fruit tree grower. And we've had people come in and they'll teach these classes as a service to the community.
We have some wonderful resources in this area with the folks who go to the farmers market, and so many of them are really experts at what they're doing. And the movement towards permaculture into small market gardening and farming is just incredible in this area.
It is. It's unusual. Well, I don't know that it's unusual, but the small gardening and small farming focus has really helped to bring those people to the area, too. Your group and then the university here as well.
So tell us what your experience is. Are those your people? Are those the people who are joining, or is it the people who want to be those people who are joining?
So it's very interesting. I feel as though many of the people that move here get here and say, wow, we have a really short season. Or, wow, we have a lot of rocks. And so they realize that we have certain challenges. We'll get a horrible hailstorm, you know, in July that will just beat everything. And high winds, I mean, really is difficult growing. It's not like, you know, where you come from sometimes where it's sunny and 70 degrees all year long. So people get here and they realize that they want to grow food, but it's challenging and they need help. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they turn to U of I and our organization just to become more educated. I do feel that most of the people that come here, you know, we obviously survey people. It is growing food first is probably the most people. Of course, there's people that are very interested in natives and ornamentals as well, but I think food's the primary.
Mm-hmm. Is it hearsay to ask or suggest, are there anyone planting for landscaping purposes, for flowers or other just design, non-food?
Absolutely. We occasionally get people, and it's usually maybe one per class that just simply is interested in landscaping design and kind of how to improve the look of their yard and garden.
Sure, the whole design of the place.
Yeah. Right.
Great.
So the farmers market, tell us about what you do there.
Well, we have a booth that we set up, and it's informational about the organization, as well as people come in with gardening questions if they're struggling or they have a certain pest or, you know, there's just challenges to gardening. They can bring any question. If we don't know it, we'll take down their name and number, and we'll get back to them on it.
Do you ask your members of your class to volunteer hours as well, like the university does?
We do. Uh-huh. It is voluntary, but we do have a lot of volunteers that reach out. And there's so many different areas of the organization that they can volunteer in. You can find your niche and go where you want.
Yeah. Many hands make light work or something like that, or at least there's work to fill it all.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, you've got some pretty exciting events coming up, and we want to make sure we spend some time on that. So, you know, let's turn to that for a little bit. The garden tour is right around the corner.
Yes, it is. The first one. So this year, we're going to do something different that we've never done before. And this is part of, well, I have to say, I'm a passionate vegetable grower, so since they made me president, that's what they're getting is vegetables. So, my perspective there. So, our first garden tour is July 8th, and that's our traditional tour. That has a great mix of gardens that have both vegetables, and some are just flowers, and some do have vegetables, but a good variety of gardens from smaller, larger. We love to make sure that our tours include a pretty good variety of gardens. And then we're going to do the food garden tour or the veggie garden tour, and that will be on August 6th. Both of those are from 10 to 4, $15 for the tickets. And I'm really excited about the vegetable one, of course. So I want to showcase there's some growers that grow at the market. There's just some fabulous little plots, you know, in town that just some raised beds. And a variety of it in between. There's a few projects that have come up. We do the school gardens. We help. We have volunteers that go and help facilitate gardening classes with the school gardens and things like that. But then also we just started one with Sixth Street Seniors.
Yes.
And I'm very excited about their growing garden. So
I'm trying to visualize where that is. There's that huge vacant area north of Superwoman, but that's not it, probably.
No, it's actually in between Kinnick'su and the apartments there. And a wonderful older man there had this passion to grow food, and there was some empty space. And so he contacted management, and we worked on designs, and he came up with a great little growing garden there. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for the seniors to get out, get, you know, fresh air, sunshine, labor, and then to be able to have fresh food.
And so, the emphasis is on a food garden there. I know some of the balconies or long patio stretches are just filled with lots of potted plants, but this is a more concentrated focus.
Yeah, and it's great because they can come down and get together.
Yes.
And work together. And I saw some flowers in there. I went by there this morning just to check on it. And they do have some flowers too. And that's important because that beauty is also just soul healing.
So that's one of the stops on the food garden tour.
I think that will be.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Talk to him. And so,
how many stops are there?
On the food garden tour, I'm not completely certain yet, but I'm hoping for around 7 to 8. Okay.
Do you have some of the other highlights you can share with us about where to see, or a preview?
Oh, well, I have to say, it's going to be a surprise for you.
Okay.
I hate to give it all away.
Yeah, sure.
But there are, I do have a few gardens that are just really spectacular. And my goal is to show people that even if you have a very small space, you can grow a lot of food. Even if you live on the top of Baldy Mountain, right, and you have rocks and, you know, weather to contend with, you can still make a beautiful garden that's very productive. And so that's what I'm trying to show, is how productive we can be and how we feed our community in so many different ways.
So people can be inspired by the design as well as entertained by the locations.
Absolutely. We encourage people to bring a camera and take pictures and use those ideas in your own garden, whatever fits for you.
And the locations will be on your website?
So the locations are, we don't send them out too much in advance.
Okay.
Right. But they within a week, they're on the website, the actual locations. You can buy the tickets online at bcgardeners.org. That's our website.
Okay.
And then the gardens will be on there within a week of the gardens. But you can also go to All Seasons, Pondere Garden Center, and Astor, and they will have information about it. They'll have a map and the information. So you can just show up if you don't want to go online, which some people don't like to do that. You can go to any one of those gardens and buy your ticket there and see the rest of the gardens.
Or you can buy your ticket at any of the gardens once you have the map. Are you going to do that again?
We're not going to sell the tickets at the gardens.
Okay.
But they'll have the map. And if you go to any one of the locations on the map, then you can purchase
can
your ticket
you
there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So will there be a suggested rotation or itinerary?
Yes. Yes. We do have a map that has all the locations on it.
Uh-huh.
So
you go to one first, or
you know,
it doesn't,
you can go
even
to
matter.
Any one any time throughout the day. In fact, some people don't make it to all the gardens. They really find one they enjoy and they stay there a little bit. And you know, it also depends on what you're interested in. So you don't have to see every one of the gardens, but you can visit each one as long as you'd like.
And the same will be true for both the regular home garden tour as well as the food garden tour. Same procedure and location
absolutely.
To buy tickets and all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you participate in the first one, and you know, it's you'll get excited and do both, right?
I'm hoping so.
Yes. Why not? There's so many gardens in this area. I'm always walking the alleys thinking, ooh, I'd like to see what that garden looks like.
Well, and just a spoiler alert, there's a couple gardens that have animals.
Oh.
That I think kind of steal the show. I mean, it's hard not to get distracted by cute goats or little burros or, you know.
Sure.
So they sort of add to the whole thing. And it also makes it fun for kids. Kids are free.
Yeah.
So their tickets at 12 or under free. And sometimes it's nice to get them also interested in gardening.
Well, like you did with your own kids, you know, you get them in the garden and then they like to eat the vegetables. It all
absolutely
goes together.
Yeah, my daughter's a big gardener as well. She has her own garden. So she's 22 now.
Well, you raise them right.
I hope so.
So that's a good segue into the school gardens, born of the same impetus to get kids involved.
Absolutely. Right now, we have two great gardens that I visited. Kootenai Elementary has a really nice garden going, as well as Farm and Stidwell. And we have many, you know, Sagal, Northside, Southside. There's a lot of other gardens, but we need good cooperation with teachers and administrators and parents. And sometimes that doesn't work out in any given year. And so some gardens are kind of left fallow for a little while.
It's easy to see how the kids would be engaged during the planning and planting, but who takes care of them over the summer? The elementary schools don't have summer school, I don't think.
Do they? No. That's why we need good parent involvement, so that during the summers they have garden clubs that will meet through this summer. But we also try to really focus our plantings on things that will come to fruition when they're back in school. So
they can harvest. Yeah,
the potatoes are a huge hit because by then, you know, you're at the end of the summer, maybe a little frost kills everything off, and they love to dig for potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And onions and carrots and
pumpkins.
Right. Yeah. It's better than things like strawberries that have to be picked when nobody's there. So,
yeah.
Well, that's a wise decision, though. Then you're engaging them in the spring and the fall, and they see the results of their work.
There's value or benefit to going into the summer for a little extra credit.
Yes.
Well, and if we do have really good involvement, we can do things like peas and strawberries and things that they can come every week and harvest.
Yes.
I'm envisioning the next generation of the school garden being planting apple trees or something, tapping into Kyle's expertise and doing a little landscaping. And does it go there?
That's fabulous. That would be a great idea. Again, it so much depends on the administrator support of each individual garden, but I think there's a good push there.
Yes, yes, you've really started it out, and it seems like a strong, healthy program. A lot of interest.
Definitely.
Well, Phil, should we take a quick song break here and break away?
Sounds good. What do we got queued up there,
Julie? Okay, it looks like we got Jackson Browne, Before the Deluge. And we're on 88.5 KRFY, and I guess so are you. So come on back. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to 88.5 KRFY. This is the Tuesday morning show, and I'm Julie Prochinski here today with Phil Huff and Karen Bennett.
Yeah. Good to be back. Always good to hear a little Jackson Browne.
Absolutely.
Too. So we were leaving off with the upcoming garden tours, and just sounds like a fabulous time. Anything more to tease the audience with?
You know, it's kind of a surprise, really. You get to come and see an incredible variety of gardens, I think. That's the thing I like most about it is just every type of flower, vegetable, everything is out there.
Great to get some ideas and some inspiration, thoughts for how to bring things back to your own situation, no matter how it might seem, how difficult it might seem. There's always someone facing the same challenge.
Absolutely. It's the inspiration part that we love.
So one of the other things we want to talk about is the healing gardens, which isn't directly the responsibility of the Gardeners Association, but a lot of cross overlap with the members and really a cherished part of the community.
Definitely. I found in a small town, there's a lot of overlap. So we do work, we have volunteers that go and help. We organize parties that go and help. And sometimes we just drop in. We're gardeners. I mean, I've been known to pull weeds in the parking lot of Super One. So, you know, you see one and you just can't help yourself. And so I think that it's a beautiful place. And it provides such a benefit to anybody who goes there. And not just the plants, but the art. And it is a special place.
Yes, it's been designed to soothe. Correct. It's got that little healing room and then all the children's things to bring the kids out there. And when you're stuck in a hospital with someone, that must really make you feel so much better. And I see a lot of employees from the hospital over there, too, during the day.
Yeah, it was put in with a lot of love and care.
Yes, it was.
And it takes a lot to continue to keep the grounds up. It's really an amazing facility, just incredibly complex with the things that are planted there and the hardscaping with the sculptures.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of volunteers, even outside of our organization, that help and that are always needed.
Yes.
When you have that much going on, that does take a bit of work.
What's the best way for someone who wants to get involved with that, or in general as a volunteer? Is it the BC Gardeners organization website or Facebook page?
Our website is a great place to start, because we can channel you. That's one of the things that we do, is we just provide as an informational resource to people too. But we can always help you get to where you need to go. And the website has our email on it, and then you can send us an email and we'll have somebody get back to you with the right information.
The same with the school garden, you were saying, the
same with the
coordinator
school garden
there. Yes.
Especially if you're a parent and you want to see more done at your school garden.
Sure.
Then we would love to hear from
you. It would
you.
Help if they lived close to the school, you know, then in the summer it wouldn't be so difficult to get there and maintain it.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. For sure.
So how's your garden? I'm sure you must have a fabulous garden. How's it doing this summer?
It's definitely large and growing. I think it's sort of borderline some obsession, but you know, you go to these, we have great nurseries in town, and you go and you're like, wow, that's a cool plant. And you buy it and you get home and you think, where's that going to go? And that's sort of how things go. I have a lot of gardens and orchards and things. I keep busy at a big greenhouse because it's tough here.
I have to know, what was the one plant you bought this year that you put in your yard that you were so excited about?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I think some succulents. I have never done that before. Mm. I'm definitely, like I said, I'm for productivity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to reach out, and I found some adorable succulents that I put in. And yeah, that was just something very different. But my whole family just walked by and said, wow, that's really cute.
Cool. So. That's cool. I bought a banana tree because Karen was in here with the aster gardens. Karen and Paul were here, and they were talking about a hardy zone 6 banana tree. So, of course, I had to go there and buy
banana
that.
Tree.
A banana tree.
How's it doing?
It's doing great.
Wow.
We put it in a pot because we're too nervous to leave it in the yard, although they said you can just cut it down and cover it up for the winter, but we're going to put it in our greenhouse for the winter.
My wife has been growing a lemon tree for a long time, from actual seeds from an actual lemon.
Wow.
But I'm trying to picture how you would do that with a banana.
Can
you grow from a banana?
Well,
can you plant half a banana in the ground like a half a potato and have it sprout?
The seeds are in the banana. I don't know when they become viable.
Now, that is something that I have not run across up here in North Idaho, is banana propagation.
Yeah, check it out at Aster Gardening. They're very cool.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, and I have pomegranates as well, and olives and citrus and things. So I understand that great big pot hauling in and out. So
sure. Yeah. You have a greenhouse as well.
I do have a greenhouse. Uh-huh. I do let it freeze in the winter, though, because it's very large. And I don't know if you ever saw the book about the, I think it's $64 tomato or... there is a limit to how much you're willing to...
Yeah.
To go, you know,
to spend. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so there are so many things, though. Even a greenhouse around here in the winter can still, it's nothing like being outside. So even though it might freeze, we still can at least do maybe zone 7, like a rosemary does great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So. It won't be a hard freeze, and it won't be a ground freeze in there anyway.
Exactly. And I go out to my greenhouse all winter and harvest kale. Mm-hmm. We call them Kevlar salads because it's like kale and chard and, you know.
Even without the greenhouse, we've pulled viable kale out off the stems into November.
Sure.
It's just amazing how hardy that is.
The surprising one is cilantro. Does great. Can take a good freeze and you can grow it in a greenhouse all winter. But you can go out and harvest carrots and things that you left in the garden. Beets do great all winter long.
Sure,
The challenge we've had has been with, I'm not sure if they're pocket gophers or voles, but some little critter's been getting to the plants the last several summers, and last year they made the mistake of getting into Deb's carrots. And so that was it. Spent the spring digging up the three beds, rebuilding them with steel mesh in the bottom, putting them back in, and I'm knocking on wood here. The gophers haven't figured out how to get through the steel mesh yet, and things are growing.
That's excellent. All both pocket gophers, voles, and ground squirrels just can be so destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a constant battle. I lost 7 trees to the voles. This last year, some I forgot to put mesh around, and some the snow piled so high they climbed to the top and ate all around, just ring it around at the top of the mesh.
Ring
and
the kingdom. So,
little stinkers.
They're hungry too.
This has been a great growing season for not just the planted veggies, but for weeds as well. People have had to be really studious with getting out and weeding. What's your strategy?
You know, I think weeds will go anywhere. They're opportunists. So if you don't give them an opportunity, then they don't take hold. And so I'm a huge proponent of deep mulch, just a good layer of mulch. I use straw around the vegetables, but I use very deep mulch everywhere else. And I mean, it's hard for a weed to poke through. And if it does, it's pretty easy to pull, but it also helps with our water conservation. So that's super important. This year I splurged and I put a watering system in my garden, and that has been amazing. I have one in my greenhouse as well, and that really makes it much more enjoyable, because you can go out and pick and pollinate squashes and do all sorts of fun things without just watering all day every day.
That's a godsend for a bigger garden.
For sure.
And it really helps normalize everything. So everything's kind of getting the same amount of water all week long, and you can adjust that as well. Because, you know, when you look at a problem with plants, it says, well, too much water or too little water.
So I see here. Yeah, for sure. I think people come up to North Idaho and don't realize that we are really high desert up here, and it is a drought area. There are summers we can go a month and not get a drop, and people don't realize that our vegetable gardens need a considerable amount of water. And most of the problems I see are for lack of water, which then stresses the plant, causes disease. So, you know, and then also gives the weeds an unfair advantage because they're far more drought tolerant. So I think having a really good drip system is absolutely essential for good gardening.
Yeah, and we're entering that that period. Usually July 4th is when the spigot turns off here, and we go into that 2 months of really dry. Some years no rain, and many years just a drop or two. So really, really good advice to pay attention to the watering.
I did want to ask too, Karen, what are you doing for your soils this time of year? Are you adding any compost at this time or fertilizer? How do you keep things going?
So, yeah, that's a great question. I add the compost because I am a big mulch person. I put my compost in the fall and the spring. You know, that's when I do most of my composting, is in the spring. But so now I'll do foliar feeding, and then I'll do a liquid feeding for the most part. Now I did the other types of feeding earlier. But because of the mulch, it's more of liquid and foliar at this point.
Is that through your irrigation system or
no? I just hand do it.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a watering can, and I use liquid fertilizer and sprinkle everybody
once a month, or are you doing it more often?
That really depends. Depends on the quality of your soil, how much you have nutrients available to them in the soil. So mine don't need a lot because they're in a really good compost. So I sort of design it so that it sort of trickles nutrients throughout the year. I'm an organic gardener.
Yes.
And it depends on what you're feeding. Some things are really heavy feeders, like, you know, corn, squash, tomatoes.
We know who they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to take a little bit extra. You just have to kind of watch them and look and see how their leaves look. And when they start to look like, then you can usually, they'll let you know.
All right.
Well, as we're starting to wind things down, really good to provide contact information one more time.
Sure.
So
you can the best way to reach us is at BC Gardeners. It's, as it sounds, the letter B for Bonner County, gardeners.org. That's our great information on the website, and you can contact us through there.
You don't get people confusing that with British Columbia gardeners asking for advice on their trees in Preston.
Not yet. We also have a Facebook page. You could just Google Barnet County Gardeners Association and hook up on our Facebook page. And then that's a great place because you also will get announcements of things that we're doing. So
and pictures of things you've done.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
You have a lot of good information out there for people to even look for gardening tips as well.
Absolutely. And you can always send questions through our webpage, through the emails too.
Great.
And we've got the two tours, the garden tour coming up in July and the food garden tour in August.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll have another plant sale in September.
Awesome. Oh, great.
Early September. And then we'll do some home horticulture classes in the fall too.
Come fall. And then master gardening starts in January.
Correct.
So if you're interested, your calendar.
If you're interested, contact us though a little bit earlier, November, December.
Yeah. Sign up early. It's just, it's a year-round process.
Definitely.
Yes. Well, great. It's been so great having you, Karen, seeing you again and hearing about your garden. And I'm excited to come on the tours.
Well, thank you. We're excited to have you.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
All right. And now we're going on to Karen's favorite musician, Peter Gabriel. Let's hear a little Sledgehammer.